I want to talk about fear. I want to go over fear today. How many of us, and we're all going to raise our hands, experience fear somehow? And, you know, fear is an interesting one because we see fear in the first book of the Bible. Adam and Eve sinned. They disobeyed God. And then God comes into the garden. He says, Adam, where are you? Adam and Eve were hiding. And, well, you can't hide from God. God knew exactly where they were. But in his love, he was walking in the garden. I want you to see that God is walking towards you right now. Maybe there's been a fear over your life, a shadow that's trying to intimidate you. I want you to see that God the Father is walking into the garden. Let me tell you a real quick story here. I remember when I was a little boy, my dad took me with him to go visit his mother. My father grew up on a farm, so we left the city, drove 2 hours, and we're going to visit grandma at the farm. And so I remember we arrived. I was probably about 6 years old, and my dad went in to see his mother. I wanted to go over to the barn because there were chickens. And being from the city, I don't see chickens very often. So I wanted to go look at the chickens. It was just really inspiring to me. Well, I didn't know that there was a rooster. Roosters are very different than chickens. And roosters are very territorial. So I went over there and I was looking at the chickens. And that old rooster came around from behind me. And when I turned around, he was right there. He flew up in the air, scratched me with his claws. I fell down, started screaming, ran towards my dad, yelling, "Dad, Dad, Dad." I didn't know what was happening. That old rooster took me by surprise, and I didn't know roosters were mean. Well, this is what my dad did. He didn't let me stay afraid. He took me and he put me up on his shoulders and he grabbed a big stick. And guess where we went? He went right back to the barn. I was on his shoulders. He had a big stick. And guess who Dad was looking for? The old rooster. And before that weekend, that rooster was dead and it was eaten. And he went into a good old Southern American food called dumplings. And and so I want you to see that God doesn't want you to run anymore from fear. I want you to see yourself on his shoulders, and he's got a big stick in his hand. And he's going right back over there towards that old rooster called fear. And it may be a fear of sickness, a old rooster of sickness, a rooster of torment. It doesn't matter what it is. It's not greater than God. God is light. He dwells in light. And when we dwell in the blood of Jesus Christ in fellowship, then that wonderful light of the Lord drives out fear. It drives out darkness. Now, I want our scripture today, Psalms chapter 34. This is going to be our kind of our bedrock scripture. We don't know how long we're going to deal with this topic, but I think it's a good topic to spend some time on because everybody deals with fear at some point. I've known some men who have been mightily used in certain aspects of the anointing. But when they weren't in that anointing and calling, they were fearful. And there were some really interesting fears that they had. But they pressed so strongly into their calling, you would have thought, oh, these guys don't fear anything. But that's not true. They had fear. And so fear is something we all deal with and we have to overcome. And we can overcome it. I don't care what your fear is. It is not bigger than God. It told you that it's big. It told you that it's impossible. But I believe today, the anointing of God on your feet, you're going to walk through the impossible into the possible, from unbelief into faith. And so let's look at Psalms 34. The Bible says in verse 4, I sought the Lord. You know, that's the first step for everything in life. I sought the Lord. I was looking for him. Now, he's not hard to find. All you have to do is say, Lord, I humble myself and I need you. And then you begin, and he's right there to begin to train you, develop you, to change you. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And I like that. There is an S on the end of fears. But before you get to plural fears, there's the word all. All my fears. And so now, let's look at some of our power verses today that I want to share with you. And I have my notes right here. Wrote them down right before we went into this. I want you to look at 2 Timothy. These are power verses. Now, we've laid our foundation. I sought the Lord. He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. Now, let's look at 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 7. And it says this. Let's just look at verse 7, actually. Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy is his son in the faith. Paul is an older man. He's experienced some things. And he says, Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says, Timothy, the fear that you're facing right now, it's not from God. God didn't give you that. But he didn't just leave him empty, did he? Right? He says, you do have something. You have power. You have love. And you have a sound mind. You know, fear attacks the mind. It tries to weaken the mind. And so God's antidote in the Holy Spirit is power, it's love, and it is a sound mind. Let's look at the second one. Romans 8, verse 15. For you, say me, that's me, for you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, and that Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, and he's constantly bearing witness that we are the sons of God. You know, the Holy Spirit in us, he's right there with us. When we're facing fear, he's inside, and he's saying, don't forget, you're a child of God. Don't forget, you belong to God. And that's his ministry on the inside of us, is that we belong to God. So remember, Paul said, Timothy, you did not receive. Romans 8:15. God has not given. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. And you did not receive. So if God didn't give it, you didn't receive it. Okay? So we're building this platform out here to understand who we are and to separate ourselves from the fear. Because I'm telling you, I believe that God is going to cause our feet to go from the impossible, what the devil says, into the possible. Now, let's look at this. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. You know, there's something about the love of God. The Bible says there's a height, there's a depth, there's a length, and a width to God's love. That's four dimensions. It's the spirit realm. You know, the world that you live in right here, and you're looking around, and you go walk on the streets of Paris or wherever, there's cars, there's buildings. That's the third dimension. There's three dimensions to the world you live in, I live in. But in the realm of love, it has four dimensions. And the Bible says that that love is a height, a depth, a length, and a width, and it is so perfect, it drives out fear. Right now, I just want you to see how loved you are, how rich the love of God is. There's no fear. There's no fear that you're facing that's greater than love. Let me tell you about love. Love came, humbled himself, born in a manger, died naked on a cross in order to break the authority of Satan so that you and I could come into the love of God. That is love. Now, let's look at another scripture. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, you are out of God. You are of God. Now, when you look at this, 1 John 4:4, let me just turn in my Bible, because 1 John 4:4 is such a powerful scripture. So 1 John 4 and verse 4. You are of God. Now in the Greek, the word of is a Greek word ek, E-K. And it means out from. So we are out of God, meaning we come from God. All of this wonderful work of Christ in us comes out of God. So he says, you're out of God. God is the source. You've come from him. And what? You're a child. The result of coming out of God is you're a child. Now, I have three children. Every one of my children came out of my wife. I was there. I watched them come out of her, and I held them. You have come out of God. He's the source. You're born. Your present tense status is a child of God. 1 John chapter 3 says, what manner of love the Father has poured upon you, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, so you're a child, you've come out of God, and this is the result. You have overcome them. In the Greek, the word overcome them means this. You overcame, past tense, and you're still in a present tense of overcoming, meaning when you live for Jesus and you're in him, you're in the realm of a completed overcoming. Now that's powerful. That's where your faith kicks in. I've overcome, and I'm in the realm of overcoming. I am surrounded by the realm of overcoming. It doesn't matter what Satan has said. I have overcome, and I'm in the realm of overcoming. Boy, I tell you, that is so powerful. I just pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking open ears right now that they would see they have overcome and they're in the realm of overcoming. That, Father, that they would see themselves in the love of God, that I would see myself in the love of God, that I've already overcome, and that every one of these problems, every one of these fears, that they really, they're so small, they're no different than that old rooster who ended up getting eaten that night. And so, Father, we thank you for it. Now, let's go. You've already overcome them, okay? And then let's look at the last one. 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says this, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it's written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We have believed, therefore we speak. So, What spirit do you have? Well, you have the spirit of faith. And when you go to like Hebrews chapter 11, you see a lot of people who were just like you, who overcame things. Remember Caleb, Joshua, 10 spies went out to the land and they said, we can't win. But there were two men and God said they have a different spirit. They have a spirit of faith. And Caleb, he saw everything the 10 spies saw, but he saw it differently. What do you see? Do you see fear? Do you see limitation? Or do you see, I can do it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what Caleb saw. And he ripped his clothes, obviously, and he said, hey, we're serving God. We can do this. Of course we can do this. God's on our side. Remember, we're going from impossibility into possibility. Now, in order to get a better picture here, I want you to see something. In the book of 1 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 2. Let's read 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 5. Now, this is Paul. He's writing to the Corinthian church. He says, I, brethren, when I came to you. So he's talking about when he showed up in Corinth for the first time. He said, I didn't come with really pretty words or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Okay? So he didn't come with eloquence or human wisdom, okay? I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now I want you to underline that in your Bibles. I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling. Now I want you to go a little bit slow here. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. Just a few moments ago, we read what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy was a young minister. Obviously, there was fear coming against him. Paul said, hey, Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And, you know, sometimes we're tempted to go, well, Paul, that's easy for you to say, but you're not the one facing Timothy's fears. Well, let's find out what Paul had to face, because Paul had to do some things for the Lord. So he had to learn by experience. So here he is in verse 3. He says, I was with you. I came to Corinth. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. I have never looked at that verse very closely. That Paul, when he came into Corinth, there was a little bit of a tremble in him. What was coming against Paul? You know, Paul was so mightily used by God, but was he tempted to fear? Yeah, he says it. I was weak. I was in great fear. I was trembling. Then he says this, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but here we go, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Now, if Paul is out there facing something, guys, don't feel so bad about yourself. But Paul found the key. He said, I'm not leaning on me anymore. I came with preaching not with persuasive words or just nice words, but with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit power. Why? That your faith might not rest in human wisdom, but in God's power. This is the whole purpose. The devil hated Paul. Paul was coming in order to release a spirit of faith so that the people in Corinth could hear the mystery of Christ and receive a spirit of faith that causes them to rest in God's power, not in idols. Let me tell you, those Corinthians, they understood idols. They had lots of idols. And they did a lot of bad things in obeisance to those idols. But that's not the gospel. When Paul came in there, he was coming in with the power of God so that a spirit of faith could come down upon Corinth. And guess what? There was such demonic attack against him. He said, I felt weak, I had great fear, and I was trembling. Boy, that makes you change your whole understanding of Paul, doesn't it? Now, let's take a look over here at the book of Acts, chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. And let's start with verse 5. And when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, now Timothy is with him, Paul was pressed in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working in him. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. When they opposed themselves and they blasphemed, so there was so much hatred, he shook his clothes and he said, your blood's on your own heads, I'm clean. From this time forward, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. Now, let me just pause here. There's something very powerful happening in Paul. Peter was the apostle to the Jews, and he was operating under such Holy Spirit power. Paul said the same grace that was in him, Peter, for Jews, he said that same grace was so strong in me for the Gentiles. Paul was a Jew, though. And he was so focused on saving his countrymen. And it was a real process of God working in this apostle to the Gentiles to get him to totally move into his high calling. He was always thinking about the Jews. He understood the Jews. And that was wonderful, but that wasn't his calling. There was Peter, there was James, there was John. They had a calling to the Jews. But Paul, the Holy Spirit was working. And here you see the gift of faith came in order to empower Paul into this direction of his high calling. Let me tell you, there was a lot of resistance to that calling, because nobody had seen it before. There was nobody called to the Gentiles. I mean, other than what? Jonah. I don't want to go to Nineveh. So he kind of was called to the Gentiles. But here's Paul. And the Holy Spirit had to come with such faith. I believe it was the gift of faith. Came in order for him to, I'm turning to the Gentiles. That is huge. You and I, let me tell you, when you meditate on that, that takes a while to think about. What about you? What about your calling that maybe it's out there, but you haven't fully turned into it? Maybe you need a move of a spirit of faith to help you get out of where you are and into this direction, fully into God's direction, a direction maybe nobody has ever seen before, like Paul. Now watch this. So he's pressed in the Spirit, and so the Bible says this in verse 7. And so he departed, entered into a certain man's house named Justus, who worshiped God, whose house was joined next to the synagogue, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue. Crispus believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, they heard, they believed, and they were baptized. Now watch this. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. And this is what the Lord said. Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not your peace. I'm with you, and no man shall set on you to hurt you. I have many people in this city. So the Lord knew the intense pressure coming against Paul in the spirit. You have to read the book of Corinthians to understand it. And so it was so intense that the Lord comes in a vision, discerning of spirits at night, a vision. He sees the Lord and the Lord speaks to him. You know, the Lord wasn't doing that just because he was bored and wanted something fun to do. And no, Paul was under such pressure. He said, I was trembling. So the Lord came and he said, don't be afraid. I have many people in this town of Corinth. Well, as you read that chapter, they do rise up against Paul and they take him into the arena in order to stand before the mayor of the city. But guess what happened? Nothing happened, just like Jesus said. So you see that pressure was there, pressure, to the point it actually took hold of Paul and took him in before the mayor and the city council in order to try him. That's pressure. The devil was gunning for him, but Jesus said, don't be afraid. Speak out. I've got many in this town. And Paul needed that. And today we have a wonderful book called 1st and 2nd Corinthians that you and I love to read. And we get so much out of it. But I want you to understand, Paul had to lean on the Lord. He had to lean so that what? His faith was in God, so that the power of God would come down upon that place. And so that why? The end result is so that those people, their faith was set upon God, in the power of God. That is the purpose of Christianity. That is why we face so many attacks, pressure, this, that, and the other, because we've been given an impartation of God to go and to impart faith so that people, the people we minister to, that their faith will be in God. And I tell you, when he left Corinth, there were a lot of people, their hearts, they loved Jesus. They had seen his power. They were living in his presence. Because this man of God came there with such opposition, trembling, fearful. But God did a work, established the church, and there's a book, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Now later on, Paul is writing wonderful Timothy. And he says, Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my friends. I'm asking that you would pour out your spirit right now upon my friends. That, Lord, that they would be strong. That, Lord, that they would grasp a revelation of a spirit of power, love, soundness of mind. I take authority over oppression over the mind, fearful deception. I take authority over it. In the name of Jesus, I break its power. And Lord, I pray especially for our pastor friends who minister the word, that, Lord, that there would be such a dependency that they don't care about fear, because they're going to see the power of God come down on the people, and that the people are going to receive faith in the power of God. So, Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for all the people around the world that are going to hear this, that they would be set free from fear right now in the name of Jesus, that they are set free right now. Shadows have to go in the name of Jesus. Every shadow of a dog barking, remember, the shadow of a dog cannot bite you. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're moving us out of the impossible into the possible. Great glory. Amen. Great glory. Great glory. Lord, we thank you for the great glory of God. That, Lord, even as we say amen after this meeting, that there would be such a tangible strength of God working in the spirit, working in the mind, working in the body, and Father, working in homes. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, and Lord, right now, we pray. We pray for those listening, that if there's anyone who's never given their life to Jesus Christ, watching, that they would put their faith right now in Jesus and simply pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I repent. I believe you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, making me a child of the living God. And Father, I want to thank you for those right now that were serving you. They've repented. They were in sin, that they would repent and come back to church, that they would go back to church. And for those who are these COVID stay at homers, that God, they're not fellowshipping anymore, that Lord, that they would realize Jesus is coming and they better change some things, because there are many who are left behind. So, Lord, we pray for a change in the body of Christ. We pray for precious Filipino people all over the world that are going to hear this. Let these words go into their spirit like a seed, and let it spring out something new in God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.